Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and this is week four. Week four with Adam Devine and Blake Anderson from Workaholics, Game Over Man. I mean, these guys have been making funny movies and funny shows for about a decade. And this is to wrap up our Los Angeles trip. It was 100% worth it. We sit down with these two guys and just have a few drinks. We talk about their cultural influence that Workaholics has had. Is going to go down as one of the most famous shows, one of the most funniest shows in Comedy Central's history. And yeah, it was surreal. It was fun. And I couldn't be a bigger fan. So for over 30 years, Signatory has been one of Scotland's premier independent bottlers, selecting the finest casks of whiskey from over 120 different distilleries, from big names you already love to your new favorites you've never seen, and even legendary closed distilleries. We call Signatory the single malt scotch whiskey because not only do its bottles come from one distillery, but also from one distillation run and from one single cask, bottled without additives like artificial coloring and at cask strength. So when you pour your glass of Signatory, you're getting scotch in its most authentic, most natural form. It's the closest you can get to a warehouse tasting without boarding a plane. Signatory Vintage Scotch Whiskey is bottled in Pitlochry, Scotland, and imported by Total Beverage Solution, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and must be 21 or older to purchase. Signatory is made to be enjoyed, but please, please, please do so responsibly. Without further ado, please welcome Blake Anderson and Adam Devine from Workaholics. Cheers. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited to meet you both. You guys have, I don't know if the gravity of your impact on the zeitgeist has hit you, but you guys have shaped culture.
Are you
Is that why we're in the shitter now? Jeez.
We've made weighed down by all this gravity.
It's always impressive to me when I get to meet someone who, obviously Workaholics was a massive success, but you three... Right, or this?
Thank you for not inviting Anders, by the way.
You want to hear the true story? You want to hear Secret Time?
Yeah.
When I was looking at the lineup of who the publicists represent,
mm-hmm.
I think Anders was in alphabetical order, and so I didn't see him at first. I saw you two next to each other. Mm. It was like, can we invite them? And she's like, yeah. And then, like yesterday, I was like, oh, Anders is the same publicist. I was like,
sorry about it, Durs.
I felt like a total douchebag. Like, should I invite him now? I would love. This has been my exciting two things.
So we're excited that you didn't. Yes. It's nice for Blake and I to have some alone time.
Durs and whiskey. Yeah. He turns into a really mean guy.
Unleash. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah.
We sat down with Dolph Lundgren once, and I was like,
nice, lucky.
Who from the '80s do you not want to drink with? And he was like, Sly, Arnold. He was like, don't drink with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I was
he'd be a bad drunk.
That's my guy, too.
Durs is the Jean-Claude Van Damme of the group.
Oh, I don't even want to give
him that belt. We had Dolph on an episode of Workaholics, and he was – well, actually, at first he was like – you could tell, like, his agent just told him to do the show. He had no idea who we are, what the show is, and was just sort of – kind of, it seemed like he was a little bothered to be there. It was just like, when is this going to be over? But then, like, we got him cooking and we were like improvising with him, and he like pepped up and he's having some fun, and he was like asking for more takes, and we're like, Dolph.
Yeah, and then Durs kind of started to mention that he had Norwegian ancestry.
Yeah, he started to talk about
his
Norwegian blood, and then him and Dolph.
Yeah.
They fucked. They had sex.
They scissored each other.
Yeah. I you guys have going back to what I was saying, the impact that you guys have shaped, I mean, for the past decade, everyone, as you've said, people will just yell at you, tight butthole, across the street. It's so great to see someone that, that you guys obviously struggled. You lived in that house when the show first started. And then all of a sudden, the cultural impact on my age range, my group, has just been fantastic. I'm 33.
Mm-hmm. That's the money spot.
That's the money spot, right? Yeah. I'm right in there. So I told my wife, and she was like, so exciting, you know? Has that weighed on you guys at all? I mean, do you feel it? Is that a beat down question?
Like, you know what? I feel it's like with certain age groups, like anywhere from like 28 to 35 right now, I feel like if I clock somebody like within that age group, I'm like, oh, they're going to want to say hello. Or like, I know that they probably will know who we are. But then like you will catch like a young Gen Zer, and they don't know who the fuck we are anymore. It's come and gone.
Very emasculating. Just like, oh, hey, what's up?
Nice or if they do, they're like, I grew up watching Pitch Perfect. I'm also a singer and dancer. Can you dance with me? Would you like to be in my TikTok?
My buddy Todd off camera was like, you should talk to Blake as if you only know him from Pitch Perfect and just continually confuse it over and over again and see how long it would go before you guys. I was like, nah, I don't want to do that.
I feel like we'd correct you pretty quickly. I don't know if Blake is going to hang his hat on that one.
We had a few drinks last night, too, and I was like, I got an idea. I'm not – so we come from Texas. Marijuana is a big no-no there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not a big drug guy. You know, I'm very square for the most part.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I should take some edibles and see how long I can go the – the interview before either they realize it or I realize it. Like, just like,
see, the thing is we don't really know you that well. So we'd be like, this guy's really chill.
Yeah.
Remember when he fell asleep for 15 minutes in the middle of it? He kept touching our knees and being like,
ah, there's my guy. Yeah, it would have been cool if you did some edibles right as we started, then we could watch you progress.
Who knows? I could overreact. I could freak out.
Welcome to California. Yeah. Edibles are a big thing here.
They are.
Feel free to swing by a shop and pick you up a bucketful.
We are planning on it, actually. Yeah. I know the first night we got here at like midnight, you guys went walking and found one.
You can find them on the ground.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. You know what? I've been messing with these little drinks. They're called Can, and it's like for cannabis. I posted about it the other day. They're full disclosure, I am a small investor, but they are delicious. And they're like they're like little sodas, the little like weed sodas, and they are absolutely delicious. They're a microdose, so it's like 2 milligrams, so you're not like
just
fully,
enough to
so you have a 2 or 3 and it's, you know,
two or three,
you
feel, or four,
some
you
drink,
shotgun, you feel one,
yeah, you shotgun one, you mainline one. No, they're awesome.
So let's dive in with a drink. I want to get you guys started.
Please.
What's your forte in whiskey? What experience? I mean, I know you guys.
I usually I'm a Scotchman.
Okay.
Okay.
So I usually like Scotch, but I really like it all, man. I really do. I like the flavor of whiskey, and I can't tell you the difference between any flavors. But I'm like, every time I taste it, I'm like,
this is good.
Keep pouring that.
Yeah, I would say I'm like, you know, I've definitely drank a lot of whiskey in my life. I'm never sure which one I'm drinking, but I'm pretty confident I like what the bros would call JMO.
Well, he doesn't have that here. You can see all the bottles.
I was hoping he wouldn't have JMO. I'm trying to expand my repertoire.
I'm not much of a square. I need to confirm that JMO was Jameson.
Not a common?
And you got it. You nailed it away.
Maybe that's a California thing. We call it JMO.
It's not.
Fair enough. So I thought we could start with an Irish whiskey, speaking of Jameson.
There we go.
Speaking of JMO.
Huge fans of 100 Proof Waterford. It's a newer Irish whiskey. There's a big debate over terroir and like origin and single farm, non-GMO. Waterford's one of those companies that basically provides all of the information. It's all single farm, single origin, and it's 100 proof Irish whiskey. So I figured we could start there.
So it's a real bangarang. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Do you prefer the?
Yeah, no. Give me one of these fancy goblets.
Fancy whiskey glass. I'll give you a tuck. Oh, that's one more than I expected. I'll drink that one.
I'll drink that one.
He's a pro.
Okay.
And then here we go.
Look at that. Little baby splash.
Little splishy splash.
Little splishy splash. Okay, yeah. So
you get the little splishy splash.
Thank you. That's okay. So what's protocol? You like swirl? Is it like wine tasting? Yeah,
it's very similar. It's very similar.
Swirl.
But
the
trick with drinking whiskey.
You gotta gargle with it.
I say it all the time, is take a smaller and smaller sip until you get used to it, and then you'll eventually take larger and larger sips. It's,
you know what I've been messing with is the Japanese whiskey.
Oh, yeah. My dad's into that.
Yeah.
Very popular right now.
Yeah. I don't know why I like it. It might just be trendy, but I'm drinking bottles of it.
It's super expensive too. They're going for crazy money. I think someone recently were talking about getting, just a couple years ago, a bottle that was like $100 is now trading for $1,300-1,400.
What? So I got to invest. That's what you're saying.
Japanese whiskey is very highly coveted right now.
Oh, this is way good, dude.
I saw this video of a professional ice cream taster. He'd be like. So I'm going to be doing a lot of that.
I believe that. That's all. I believe that for you.
We do a lot of ASMR videos for the show.
Yeah. Good. Just, I like it.
Oh, we used to get complaints about it. Remember when people would leave reviews of our show? They would be like, stop fucking smacking the microphone.
I hate the way your mouth sounds.
Hey, well, sorry about it. It's your podcast. You can do what you want.
It's nice. And you have experience with all these whiskeys already.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So some of them we opened on this trip. This is a bottle from 1969.
69.
These are affectionately known as Dusties because they tend to collect
dust.
Dust.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's so
cool.
That's 1969. What's that? 51 years in the bottle.
Years. That's awesome.
This is a bottle from 1976.
Where do you buy these, like, old bottles?
So a lot of auction houses, Sotheby's, and any place that buys old paintings or old watches, or there's a collector for everything.
Throw in a bottle of whiskey if you buy sick art.
If you buy a watch, they're like, and also
here's an old bottle of whiskey.
That one over there is from 1905. It's 115 years old.
Which, this one?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
It's a ginger brandy. It's medicinal. It's meant to, I actually opened that with Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen, and then we did it again with Anthony Starr from, Homelander, Amazon, the boys, and then Coleman Domingo. Yeah, so we've just kind of been chipping away at the bottle. It's 115-year-old ginger brandy that's meant to cure diarrhea.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It says it right on the bottle.
That'll help.
Yeah, that'll
help. Good.
Really,
I need something to plug
it
up.
It cures it. It doesn't cause it.
Yeah,
wow.
It's it might actually cause it.
You'll never get it again.
Yeah.
Cramps, diarrhea, indigestion.
That's cool, because that's like for sure, it's old enough that I imagine the guy who was selling it was on like an old horse and buggy.
Yeah.
And he was like, it'll cure your diarrhea.
I feel at that point you could write anything. Salesman. Like it would be like, helps with pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Everything back then was unregulated.
Pregnancy. if you're
helps
looking
with pregnancy
to
pain.
Not be pregnant.
Helps get rid of unwanted pregnancy. Thank you.
They had no regulation back then, so you could say whatever the hell you wanted.
That's awesome. Yeah. The good old days.
So Irish whiskey you like, huh?
I love that.
Yeah, that was great.
It warms the soul.
Yeah.
Like you feel
this
it
is
right
why
where
I feel like
soul.
I like, I'm glad we're doing this now. We're deep into we're entering the winter months.
We are.
And I feel like this is, I don't love whiskey in the middle of the summer because it warms you up a little too much. But in the winter, woo, pour me a double.
Yeah, there
triple.
You go. Double barrel shotgun. Let's go.
You guys have...
What? I just say things. I just say things.
You guys have famously, disclosed that the house that y'all shot in was originally, you guys were living in it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you've answered, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what happened to the house since the show's ended? Is it still...
We demolished it. No one can.
Yeah, we have.
With
we
all of our treasures.
Up. You didn't see the last episode? We just explode the house.
I rewatched the last episode the other day.
Oh, okay.
It was.
So, you know.
Trust me, we wanted to blow it up, but I don't think the city of Van Nuys would allow it.
No, we wanted to buy the house after we were done. We were like, oh, this would be cool. Make it a workaholics museum.
Yeah, like a historical landmark.
Yeah, make it a historical landmark. But then, we actually rented from these nice people, Gabby and Lou. What's up? And they rented to us the entire time. One, we lived there. We lived there for like 3 years before we started to shoot the show. And then we had the show for 7 seasons over 8 years. So then we rented from them the entire time. And then afterwards, we're like, we want to possibly buy the house. And then they were like, no, finally want our house back. We like rented to you for a decade. Give us that thing back.
So. Well, I do think for a little bit, though, they had it like you as Airbnb advertised as like the Workaholics house. You can stay here. And then they were also running like somebody was running a little comedy show out of the backyard.
That's right. Yeah.
They it's were like a staple of the community now.
About once a week, I'll get
cultural heaviness. Yeah. The gravity of you guys is so neat.
Once a week, I'll get a person being like, just swung by the Workaholics house.
Yeah.
And taking photos in the front yard and stuff. And a lot of times, it'll be like someone did a little B&E and got on top of the roof and mm-hmm. are like smoking weed and drinking on this person's roof. And I'm like, I know the owners now are just having to chase people off their roof with hoses.
Repair the damage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We can't encourage that, but we don't condone it either.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's pour the next one.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of the right, let's go Scotch. I know you like Scotch. You said you're a big fan.
Okay. I am. True.
We've got a 23-year-old Linkwood. I actually haven't. We just opened it before you got here. I don't. It could be good. It could be bad. We're gonna find out.
We're gonna find out.
Okay. So we don't like. You've had this brand, or are you saying this bottle could be?
Oh, so this is an independent bottler. That what these guys do is they go to different distilleries and they cherry pick casks.
Okay.
And so they bottle individual casks from different distilleries. This one's from Linkwood. It's 23 years old. The brand is Signatory. So whereas Jameson's always the same.
Yep.
These J-Mo. Guys are always J-Mo. Different. Sorry, my apology. J-Mo. Yeah. Oops. Is
thank you.
These guys are always different.
Thank you for standing up for this conglomerate, Jameson.
Yeah. They needed the boost.
Yeah, they need the plug.
What's the youngest whiskey or scotch can be?
So in America, we don't have an age limit. Bourbon can be 1 second old.
Damn.
In fact, Pabst Blue Ribbon launched a white whiskey that they aged for 5 seconds.
5 seconds?
If those were brand new barrels, which would have been a huge waste of money, they could have called it bourbon. But it's just American whiskey aged 5 seconds by Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is the most bizarre flex. We're just going to fucking do it because it seems like a good idea.
Okay.
But Scotch is 3 years. It's got to be at least 3 years old.
Okay.
Okay. And what makes it, I'm sure on your podcast, everyone asks the same questions.
Yeah, we're day one.
Why age it? It just tastes better. The oakiness of the barrel.
The barrel influence. Yeah. Yeah. So oak is everything. Right, so
there we go. Make the shirts. There's your shirts. There's your merch right there.
If you don't, I don't have that sort of business mind. I appreciate you guys' ideas. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, vodka, unaged clear spirits are largely they're just not. They're not great.
And mm-hmm. Okay. Shots fired at vodka.
Shots fired at vodka. Vodka sucks a bag of dicks. In fact, legally speaking, vodka has to be tasteless and odorless.
Okay.
And a lot of times they'll add glycerin oil to kind of give it a kind of a thickness to it.
Yeah,
but it's
I like that glycerin taste. What
you
can
do
I
love
say?
A good glycerin.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay. I know that about you. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Ever since the Bush song.
Aaron, that's just...
Ever since Bush. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so barrels at all...
I get it.
This one smells really good. I do like the smell of that.
Oh, yeah. That's actually tremendous, Todd.
Yeah, that's...
23 years old.
Let me see that bottle.
So you like that one better?
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
See, I like the other one better.
So the Irish one's great. Better. Don't get me wrong, but that's tremendous.
That's tremendous. I mean, it lights you up. My tongue is dancing.
Yeah, so when I start tripping on my words and about...
You're a little lightweight, aren't you? I feel like you're going to be lit.
Well, I decided to do a December to Remember,
what
I was calling it. So this is my first time drinking in the month of December.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and which I projected.
To be honest, yeah, I went over.
I didn't
see myself
making
admittedly, this
it.
Is work. We're
this
doing
is
work,
and
this isn't for pleasure.
The cross I bear with Workaholics, just drinking, kind of, I can't escape it.
Can't escape it. So you tried to give yourself a break then?
Kind of. Well, I was just figuring, with
we
everything kind of.
You can take that with you if you want.
Everything was kind of being shut down, and no like holiday parties. I'm like, well, let's make this December blackout free for once.
Sure.
For once in my life.
So you've been having some alcoholic issues, and you came onto this.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like I'm definitely in trouble. I'm like,
you're setting me back, and I'm going to talk about this at my meeting.
Yeah, Blake takes out a chip, and he's like,
"All right, let's just throw this away.
3 years, I've got to give this to somebody.
Oh well,
use your chip as a coaster.
Back on the whiskey train.
Cheers, buddy. Welcome back. You.
Speaking of good. Smoking on the roof, I wanted to ask you guys. You guys are in different places now. Obviously, your careers have been fantastic. I've rewatched Game Over.
Game Over, man.
I'll tell you why I rewatched it. I'm a happily married man, but Congrats. You, in several interviews, discussed that that's your actual penis in that movie.
So that's why you had to go
back. So I had to go back to make sure it was your actual penis.
Hold on, wait. Oh, that's why you're really prefacing it with you're married.
Yeah.
Did you watch it on the phone so you could zoom in there?
I'm definitely straight, but he mentions in several interviews that you bring up, that's my actual dick.
Stop talking about it. Yeah. We actually talked about that on the podcast just the other day.
I feel like it comes up, just about every episode.
So I was like, I don't remember seeing his dick. So I went back and rewatched it. And
you blurred it out of your memory.
Well, it came out a couple of years ago, and I watched quite a bit of things, and so I went back rewatched it, and I was like, oh, that's really his dick. That's so crazy.
Real dick. Check it out. Game Over, man. Streaming now on Netflix.
I like your inner monologue too.
Oh, in my own head, I had to justify that. That wasn't for you guys. That's for me. I'm definitely really happily married. I'm definitely straight. I have 4 kids.
I am. I swear.
Well,
I didn't love it.
I'll say, Adam, I think your dick is unforgettable, so I don't have to go back and rewatch it. It is into my memory.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, it's probably not the first time you've seen his junk.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I wonder if you...
I don't think I ever...
I don't know. We weren't really pulling...
No, I had seen it. No, I had.
When did you see my dick?
I feel like there was what would they say, mollywhopping?
Mollywhopping?
I used to hit my friends in the head with my dick when I'd get drunk. You know, as one does when they're 19 years old.
What's crazy to me is the most iconic image I have of you naked is not of your penis in Game Over. It's of you tucking it back. And Workaholics.
Oh, sure. There is a lot of dick comedy.
There's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tucking it back and dropping a towel in Workaholics has been burned into my head for the past 2 years.
Because my dick fell off.
Legendary moment.
I wanted to ask you guys, going back to, I know you said that in the past you've entertained strangers who've come by the house and let them come up there to smoke with you on the roof and eventually had to stop because they're strangers and hit or miss.
Real early on, we were just excited that anyone, because you make the show and you work on it and you're fully like in the zone with it. And then all of a sudden it comes out and just strangers know who you are. And it's like a weird thing.
Yeah.
But also pretty cool and rewarding because you've worked so hard on something. And then when people see it, you're like, you've actually seen it? Come in the house.
Right.
Come talk with us.
Yeah.
Here, we'll drink beers with you. We'll smoke weed on the roof with you. All this stuff. And then after a few months of that, where it was pretty continuous, we're like, hey, I don't know. Because some of the people, admittedly, a lot of them were very cool. Some were
weird.
Odd.
Yeah, some were total weirdos. So I would say it was 70% cool, 30%. They're like trying to steal stuff. Sure. They're like trying to take little mementos from the house.
Sure.
Or they're just, you know, just people that you're like, oh, I don't really want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah, so, or they're like showing up at 10 a.m. with a lit joint and you're like, wake and bake again.
That's so funny that for you, 10 a.m. is wake and bake.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We're night owls.
So my question was going to be twofold. What's the, I don't, and you may have, if this is a question you've answered many times, just ignore it. But what's the craziest experience that really made you, like the final straw, decided not to do this? And then two, do you guys still continue that tradition in your own current homes? Like now that you've made it in life, every once in a while, like me and Sean, he's my brother-in-law, we'll have dad nights in the garage.
Ooh,
he'll come over, we'll have a few drinks in the garage, It's like a little, it doesn't happen often, but it's a nice little break from
that's,
the norm.
That's fun. Dumb. I'm excited for that dad life.
Yeah. You guys play cards or like throw darts or something?
No, we look at other people's homes and like, oh, that foundation. Like we make
dad stuff.
We comment on the construction of things around
us. Okay, so it's just two dudes like looking at Zillow together?
Yeah basically.
That's sick.
That's and complaining about why our wives are always mad at us.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Probably. I'm ready for that lifestyle. I can't wait.
Do you guys, have you guys ever gone back on your, you know, your current homes and just said, you guys want to do a roof night or is that done?
We haven't gone back there.
No.
What we should.
You don't have
we
to be there. It doesn't have to be that original house, but like your current home.
Yeah. When I just bought my house in Hollywood, I built a batting cage on the roof.
It felt like a flex, even though it was just factual.
Yeah.
It felt like a little bit of
Hollywood, there's some shitty areas and homes here.
Sure.
So that wasn't necessarily a flex. But I bought a house and I built a batting cage on the roof because I loved hanging out on our roof so much. And actually multiple houses that we lived in coming up. The roof was a big part of a lot of these homes.
Yeah.
And then I built this pretty makeshift batting cage that now it's still there. It's just twisted steel on my roof. If there was like an earthquake and then the insurance adjuster found this batting cage up there, how am I going to get it down?
Well, I would have swore like the wind would have like
took it. You don't use it anymore?
Well, it's mangled. It's fully destroyed. No, I use it like, it's amazing how little you will use a batting cage. You think you're going to use it every day.
That's how I feel about a kegerator. When I first got a kegerator.
We had one in like
our original. It seemed like such a great idea. And then you're like,
it becomes a chore.
And then you're like, you have so much beer all the time, and you're like, well, we have to finish the. You always think you're about to be done with it,
deceiving.
So you're like, hey, tonight we're finishing the keg. We're gonna finish the keg, mm-hmm. And it's you and like two buddies in your kitchen, and you're like, is this your 14th or 15th beer?
We're
and
they're so
like,
close.
I think it's 15, and
so
you shake
close.
It, and it's. It has the same
empty.
Amount of weight that it had when you started, and you're like, it should be done.
You're also starting
and
to get drunk strength,
now.
So like it's feeling lighter and lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the batting cage was a similar thing where you're like, we're going to use it every day, and then we used it like five times, and it was like also like I only had a few friends that really wanted to go swing the bat,
mm-hmm.
And so those friends came over, and then you're just asking them again, and they're like, you want to come swing the bat again, and they're like. Dude, I just did that last week. I don't know if I want to go swing
again. So you end up going
again.
Months without using it. Yeah.
And then it falls apart.
The other thing is, you know, anytime you're on the roof partying or whatever, drinking, it's so much harder to get down once you've had a few beers.
It
and
is.
Your ladder, that was like a treacherous roof.
It was
you could really
pretty
get
sketch.
Hurt.
It was pretty sketch, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a little sketch.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next pour, and then I want to hear about you guys have started a podcast.
We did.
And it's the old gang back again.
It's the number one, a lot of people are saying number one podcast in existence.
Yeah, it's not by the numbers, but a lot of people are saying number one in their heart.
A lot of people are saying, and also by some numbers.
Some
we're
some
not
numbers.
Sure which ones exactly, but there are numbers out there. You can look them up. A lot of people are saying number one podcast.
Yes.
I'm learning a lot from our president. You just say a lot of people say, a lot of people are saying.
You just speak in big, bold terms, it's fine. It'll work out.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying,
number one.
The number one.
So we went and saw, we actually went to William H. Macy's house. Yes, well, yesterday? Day before.
Nice, 2 days, dude.
It feels like it was yesterday.
How's he living?
Does he have a batting cage on his roof?
No.
Yeah, does he have a batting cage?
Fucking poor guy.
Sorry, William H.
No, he lives in the Hollywood Hills. It was surreal.
Flex on us.
It was weird because it's literally on the side of a hill, so you kind of it keeps going, and it wrapped around the side of the. It's like it's on a couple acres. He picked
Sick.
Us some lemons. It was a very bizarre experience. But he is starting to get into whiskey, and he works with this company called Woody Creek, and so this is William H. Macy's whiskey.
I already like it.
And
like
I figured we can get started. This is a rye whiskey, and this was actually my favorite.
We got to get a whiskey, dude.
I know.
We're blowing it.
How do we not have a whiskey?
We should have a whiskey.
Did you guys do a beer once?
We tried to do a beer.
We are current investors in a hard seltzer.
I'm repping.
Yeah.
Ashland. Hard seltzer. Let's go.
And it is great if you like hard seltzer, but... Who are we kidding? We need a whiskey.
Yeah, don't the Breaking Bad bros have a
mezcal? Yeah. They have a mezcal, yeah.
It's called like Amigos or something.
Los Hombres? Dos Hombres.
Which I feel like that would have been the name of ours.
It'd be Tres Hombres, just like a direct ripoff.
Tres Hombres.
Or let's just do a whiskey just called like Cool Friends.
Are you talking about cutting Durs out? That's what you said,
Dos Hombres? Come on.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, Durs. Why aren't you here?
Seriously.
You should get into whiskey. They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Smell delicious.
Now, this is William H. Macy.
I would wear this as
cologne.
Why did he go
Woody Creek?
It's actually a funny story, or a heartfelt story. If you're, you're engaged, right?
I am.
Yeah, so his wife grew up in just outside of Aspen, and I think the city's called Woody Creek. Mm. They went back and bought her childhood home and rebuilt it. And the distillery is using their fields to grow grain and potatoes for their vodka and whiskey. So they became friends. They developed a relationship. They asked him to be the face of the brand. And it's a Colorado whiskey that they started distilling. And as far as rye whiskey goes, I was pretty happy with it.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if we get a whiskey going, we got to invite your ass out to start sipping for us to say like, yo, this is bad and this is good.
So
because we got some real novice palates.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
I would encourage you to please call me.
Yeah, okay. We will.
Because there is kind of a running joke when it comes to celebrity brands.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just whack as hell.
Very few of them do it right. Yeah. And I think there's literally only a couple things you need to do to make it go the extra mile and be successful.
And what are those things?
Decent proof.
Alcohol.
Yeah, decent. Yeah. You fucking nailed it. Okay. Number one.
Yeah.
You can't. Most people, the minimum for whiskey is 80 proof.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't do that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Yeah, so we're going, dare I say,
100 proof.
What? Maybe infuse it with energy.
Okay.
Yeah, like, throw some caffeine.
Kind of like the Four Loko.
Hey, what if we inject it with some?
The worst idea.
What if we inject it with a little coffee flavored? I feel like that's...
Okay, that could happen.
Okay, some beans, some roasted beans.
Hello.
So decent proof. You know, you can be the next Blue Chew whiskey. If it gets your dick whiskey dick. Right, you get ahead of it and you put in a little Viagra. So it prevents.
We're Cialis boys, so we would go that.
We would direct investor.
Yeah, I'm invested in Cialis.
Cialis.
I wish.
I'm all in.
I'm Roman.
Okay. Deep cut.
Decent.
Cheers. To whiskey dick.
Decent, to whiskey dick.
Yeah, you call it whiskey dicks, make it plural. Double entendre.
Yeah.
I admittedly, can I say?
Yeah.
I have the worst whiskey dick.
Okay.
If we've had three very tiny, small amounts, my dick won't work for a week.
That's why you get engaged. You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah. Right? I'm like,
he's about to make a toast at the wedding. A little whiskey.
Hey, we'll consummate this marriage next week.
Don't
baby.
Give him that. Don't
Love
give
you.
Him that.
Hey. It happens.
I almost think that that's a good thing at a point. You know, I think all alcohol should deactivate your
penis.
Let's
just go to bed.
Yeah.
Let's get up early. I couldn't agree more.
You make better decisions. It's just that is off the table. We're just drinking tonight. We're having a good time, chumming it up.
For me, when I drink alcohol, like a lot of my friends, a lot of people that I know, they will make bad decisions that in their relationship. They'll like... go after some girl when they have somebody that they care for.
Right.
I'm the exact opposite. I like women are just not an object of affection. I might bro down.
They're terrifying.
Women. Yeah, I'm also I'm a bro drinker.
You usually just hang on to my buddies and just be like, dude, see if you could throw a dart through my fingers.
Yeah, it's almost like, you used to talk about like when girls go out and they put the purses in the middle and dance in a circle, you know, we're going out, we're dancing. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what we
do. We're not trying
to
get laid. We just want to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm with you 100%. I'm a happy guy. I love my bros. And you at the end of the night, you're like, bro, I love you so much, man. Yeah. Like, you're my best friend.
You're so lucky I have whiskey dick right now, man. Oh, God.
Like, I'm straight. I'm happily married. I'll tell you it again. But you want to just touch it?
Okay. Four kids.
But with that said, Woody Creek.
He's a great sponsor of the show, William H. Macy.
William H. Macy.
He actually, he's saying, I think they're dropping an album. Like, so he created this character.
Oh, he has like a band, right?
I don't know. What happened was is he created a fictional character that just happens to look exactly like him for this distillery. And it's like old Pappy Van Woody Creek or whatever, you know? So he plays a ukulele and he sang a song. And he wrote a bunch of songs to pitch to the distillery for them to make an album. And the ones that they rejected, which were just not good for the brand, right?
Sure.
One was about I love fucked up women, I think.
Okay.
So he just sat there singing for us. And it was super catchy and super great. But obviously you wouldn't want that for a brand.
Different era.
Different era.
There's some country songs out there that are, that could
I
fly.
Feel like it depends on the brand. I feel like when we build a brand...
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get. Yeah. We're not going that broad, you know? We're in it for the niche market.
Right. Our hit single is I Think I Want to Fuck My Friend.
But I'm Happily Married.
Wait, what?
Oh, I don't know, man. You get me on a whiskey show and it just starts coming.
It all comes out.
Yeah.
It's been a long December.
That reminds me of Closed Set. I remember... when I first started, like years ago when the show first started, I started pitching the celebrities to do the show. And I would always lead with, it's a closed set.
Mm.
And it turns out, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But that refers to there being nudity on set.
It's like a sex scene or something.
And all I got, I was like, why is everybody saying no? The show's doing pretty well. Why is everybody saying no? It's because I led with, there's going to be nudity on set. So, I'm learning.
That was on Game Over Man when my dick was out the entire time. That they made a big deal about, like, it's a closed set, it's a closed set. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. But then that scene took 8 hours to shoot because it's like a big fight sequence and my dick is out for a long time.
Yeah.
And so
how much fluffing was done?
No, not a lot. only because it was 8 hours of it.
Sure.
It's like, I'm not just going to like swing my dick around for 8 hours straight.
I mean, when they were getting the super close-ups, you know, I'm sure my boy juiced it up a little bit.
Shout out to Steve Howie.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Me too. And, but yeah, they were like, it's a close set. And then by the end of the day, there's just like the grip is around the monitors. There's like the transpo captain is like peeking his head around being like, hey, what you guys shooting?
Yeah.
There's like young 22-year-old girl PAs that are just like watching the whole thing.
Yeah. It gets.
And I was like, thank God I'm here to put on a show, you know, open this set up.
Oh, it's an open set now. It's an baby. Open set.
Were you nervous at all?
No, because I wrote it. We wrote it together, and it was like I knew that we were doing it for years.
Yeah,
so that was one of the first when we first were brainstorming ideas for a possible movie. That was one of the whole autoerotic asphyxiation scene.
It's funny. Yeah,
we wrote the movie around the scene.
It was one of the first. It was like
the
that
first, and the first idea you had was like, my dick's out.
Yeah, my dick is
now
out.
Where that do we go? And, hotel.
Shaggy being like held hostage, singing "It Wasn't Me." We thought would be hilarious. So we were like, those two ideas were a couple of our very first brainstorming sessions, and so I knew I was going to do it forever. So by the time it happened, I was like, zip. I would say flop, but it's more of a schwamp.
Zip schwamp.
Did you guys entertain the idea of using a fake one, like in Boogie Nights?
Yeah, but then it would have to be, you can't make a fake one smaller than your dick. It has to be like larger than your dick.
It has to.
Yeah. Just to how it would fit on it. And then I'm like, well, then is it weirder that I have a fake huge dick?
Yeah,
it seemed like normal because I don't have a can small of worms. Dick, but I also don't have a huge. It's a pretty normal size.
Mm-hmm. You can watch it.
We'll watch it. Yeah, it's streaming now.
Judge for yourself. Streaming now on Netflix.
Judge for yourself.
All right, so we'll pour something else. Have you guys had anything from Texas before?
I don't know.
Whiskey.
And no, J-Mo's not from Texas. I'm sorry about him.
It's okay.
I mean, J-Mo. I've had Tito's.
Okay,
that's not even. That's not even originally from Texas either. They buy vodka from out of state and they...
First of all, they buy vodka from out of state.
First of all. Like,
you know what? I'm almost guaranteeing that
give me a second
I'm going to...
They're They run the distills.
They run the distills.
Okay.
Okay.
What part of Texas are we talking?
So Texas has got a massive whiskey following right now.
It's a huge state. It has a massive whiskey yeah. following.
So just to give you a little bit of fun fact, because I love Mark Norman. I love Mark Norman's fun facts.
I like his fun facts as well.
Scotland is about 30,000 square miles, and it has five whiskey regions.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is 270,000 square miles. It's literally 10 times the size of Scotland. And yeah, so there's whiskey all over the place. This is made in Waco. This is about
so we're saying, I didn't really follow that. So yeah. There's more whiskey in Texas than there is in Scotland. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I was saying is that...
We're coming after you, Scotland!
We got you.
So Scotland has five whiskey regions, and you asked, you know, how much whiskey's in Texas.
Yeah.
We're much larger in terms of climate regions.
Mm-hmm.
So Scotland's very wet and very cold pretty much year-round. Texas is a wild ride. So South Gulf Coast, Houston area. Have you ever been to Houston?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their whiskey's going to be a lot different than stuff from Dallas. And it's just so much bigger. The climate's different. Dallas sees a lot more snow than we do.
Mm-hmm.
This is made in Waco. It's kind of in the middle of Texas. And this is
from the Branch Davidians. Yes.
You found this
in their basement.
Actually, if you've ever seen the master distiller for Balcones, he grew up in a commune. So I asked him, like, did you know David, what's his name?
Right.
What's David Koresh.
Koresh, yeah.
I only know this because I watched the show.
It was with, awesome. With
Taylor Kitsch.
Waco.
Yeah, Waco.
It was insane. It was really good.
It was cool, yeah.
Really makes you hate the police before it was cool to hate the police.
Mm.
Yeah. They were trying to defund the police before it was cool.
In the 90s when no one gave a fuck.
And they all got gunned down.
When everyone's like, but I do love the show Cops. What do I do? Let me make some room here.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you, William H.
Wayne Jr. Let's go.
Invite me to your crib, William H.
Yeah, I want lemons.
I don't know him. Never met him, but invite me as a stranger to your house.
It's really an insane property, right? I mean, we were pretty impressed.
That's the goal, right? A property?
It's really. Yeah.
My house is it's a house.
Yeah.
I'll say it's a house. It's not a property. I'm trying to get a property.
He bought the couple lots next to his and further down. And so he created this Garden of Eden type scenario.
That's awesome.
That's insane. And it's all on the side of a mountain. He's like, you guys want some lemons and kumquats? I'm like, man, if you offered me your dog shit, I'd take it.
Yeah. I'll bag it up.
Yeah. So this is Texas single malt.
So what are some fun things that we can say about like this type? We're like, that is a peaty, an oaky, peaty blend.
So Texas, they use bigger barrels than Scotland and Kentucky.
Everything's bigger in Texas, baby.
Damn right. That's French oak, 60-gallon barrel, 60, maybe 63-gallon, I forget. But they're just really in your face. They're a real punch in the dick.
Mm. All right. I like that.
Cast strength, too, so it's going to light your chest up.
Woo! I tend to enjoy... Everything out of Texas, and this follows suit. This is delicious.
You do really love Texas a lot.
I do.
Do you really? You spend any time there?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, my hipster ass is, most of my time is in Austin, mm-hmm. but Dallas. I haven't been to San Antonio, though. I've always wanted to go there.
I've never been to San Antonio
either. It's super peaceful. In terms of Texas cities, if you're going to go visit, San Antonio couldn't have more chill to it.
I've been told you got to...
What's the river
take walk? Take a walk on the river walk. Everyone I know from San Antonio is
river walk.
I'm like, this river walk must be out of control.
Yeah. It's probably like a cool little drinking bike ride or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
So I love to ask this question a lot because for both of you, you do quite a few interviews. What's the one thing that you're tired of answering?
And it's not that I'm tired of answering it. It's just we've said it so often, is talking about my dick in Game Over, man. What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Really? It happens a lot?
No. When we did the movie, we talked about it a lot.
Feeling insecure.
No, probably our origin story. You talked about that. But we're not sick of talking about it. It's just that's the one thing that we've talked most about.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It was... 8 years of workaholic, 7 seasons over 8 years, and every time it would be like, so talk about where you guys met,
how'd you guys meet?
right. And then you just go into it. But yeah, we're not sick of it.
Is what it is.
I didn't ask that, just for the record.
Yeah, so I know. You're better. Doing great, yeah, dude.
You're really crushing it. It also helps to lube us up a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I want to take a quick moment, take a pause in the show, and talk to you a little bit about Waterford Irish Single Malt Whiskey. This is an exceptional, different farm to glass, grain to glass, single farm, single origin Irish whiskey that sets itself apart and does everything it can to prove that terroir in whiskey is a real thing. You can check it out at glassrev.com/Waterford today. Cheers.
Can we talk about how bloody brilliant the Righteous Gemstones is?
We can. I'd love to.
When's the next season air?
What sucked about Corona, there's a few things that sucked about Corona, but specifically, I think, and the world will agree, it's the fact that we didn't get to go shoot season two right away. We're about to start shooting the second season. Literally, it was day one. I'm down there. I have my dumb haircut. I've been fitted for all my dumb clothes. And they were like, you got to go home. Turns out coronavirus is a real thing. We'll come back in 3 weeks. And that was 11 months ago. So
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love Danny McBride. And see, the whiskey, it numbs your tongue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Danny McBride. The first couple of shows, was it Eastbound and Down and I think Counselors? What was the name of the
Vice Principals.
I loved, my wife couldn't quite get into it.
Mm.
And it's the same cast. Mm-hmm. God bless Walton Goggins. Huge mm-hmm. goddamn fan of his.
Yeah, he rules.
The only differentiation is that you were in Righteous Gemstones. Mm-hmm. We loved Righteous Gemstones and growing up Pentecostal and super religious.
Yeah.
The Righteous Gemstones is like...
Well, I feel like it's more of...
It's in the pocket.
An ensemble piece. So if there's like five or six different storylines that you can truly follow, that if you don't really love one, you might really like another. And I think that's enough to sort of hang your hat on as an audience member. To where like some of those other projects that you mentioned, and even Workaholics, it's like if you don't like what we're doing, there's really no...
You don't
nothing
like,
else to don't like
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, you don't like the show. But I feel like if you don't like what my character's doing or whoever else in the Righteous Gemstones, you might like something else.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the sister couldn't be funnier.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, man.
She's
kills it.
She's mm-hmm. tremendous. I mean, the show's great. And of course, I started watching Woke.
Hey.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
And it's kind of a weird take because you're silly in nature and you're in a lot of fun, silly stuff. But it is a bit more. There's some serious undertones.
There's yeah. some gravitas
for
to
sure.
It.
There's for
some,
sure.
some gravity, some weight to it for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely you know taking on exposing like some cultural
gaps. Thing,
yeah, that we need to be talked about. But you know, we were even doing that before all like the civil unrest that was going on and everything. So it was just stuff that has.
It
been.
It kind of worked out like for your show. You guys were doing that before, and then everything happened, and it kind of
it's like
perfectly see, coincided.
Told you,
yeah,
yeah. It's that just kind of shows you that this is all stuff that has been kind of bubbling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reunion recently with Will Smith and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah,
and they literally talked about an episode where they were talking where Jazzy Jeff was on trial and was like, "I'm gonna grab a pin out of my pocket
yeah.
in front of the bailiff, like, don't shoot me. And I'm like, that was 20, it was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So when you talk about it's been an issue for a while, it's been an issue for 3 decades.
Yeah.
Probably longer than that, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's been covered for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel...
And I feel the three of us, we're going to figure it out right now. Pour another glass. We're going to figure this out.
We're the perfect yeah,
we're the perfect group.
This is the summit right here. We are the new United Nations.
We did an episode about feminism, and I was like, yeah, we should probably invite some females to do the episode.
That one, yeah.
That's what we talk about that all the time on our podcast. This is important, and is the name of the podcast. And we, in Workaholics, when we would write something, we'd be writing dialogue for a female, and we're like, oh, she would never say something like that. Like, that is so out of left field. And then we would always say, like, well, we know chicks. So.
Yeah, if there's anything, we know chicks.
If there's anything, we know chicks. And then we, you know, we obviously had a few female writers, and they're like, that is hilarious. No female would ever say something like that.
Like every line Jillian said at all was just clearly written by me.
Jillian did a lot of her own improv-ing, so she's pretty genius.
She's pretty genius.
Did you, and this is kind of a semi-serious question, did you feel any kind of nervousness about taking that role? I mean, you do still play a lighthearted guy, but it is a kind of a serious undertone show. Did you feel any kind of, is that intimidating at all?
Well, I think just like in initially like reading the script, you know, it wasn't something that I was just like out the gate, like, yeah, I'll do it. Like my worst fear in doing anything like that were with seriousness and approaching a subject like race is that, you know, it's done with the proper group of people and everybody involved. I was just a fan of and, you know, respected very highly. And also I just don't want something like that to come off like corny and have like the culture be like, this is like, what is this?
Not
this
take you
false.
Seriously.
It's
yeah.
Whack.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just, yeah, everything kind of aligned and it was
and
something
you're on the right side of the fence. It'd be weird. I think about that sometimes about like if I got a role that was awesome, like if some big director was like, I'm going to give you this awesome role, but you're going to play a wild racist.
Right, right, right.
And you're
like an American History X
situation. I don't know.
Situation.
Like it would be, you'd really have to think about something like that, you know, because then people are going to relate those feelings of racism back to you as the actor when you're like, well, I'm playing a character, obviously.
Well, like anytime someone who is cast to play a role of like Cleopatra or in Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal, like you're that there's a lot more weight there, so you don't want that aimed at you.
Absolutely.
And you want to make sure you take it right. All right, so let's get into some dusty bourbons. These these are tremendously old pieces of history. They're time capsules. The liquid in there has been sitting in there for the last 50 to 70 years depending on the bottle. I thought
that no one's ever like pissed in it or any. There's no way
there's
to
no
tell.
Way to
no,
know.
No. Yeah.
Yeah,
so this I mean, they're still sealed. We cracked this last night.
Okay.
This one hasn't been opened, so we'll start with this. Wow. Medley is one of the most well-respected brands, and this is what 1976.
So let me ask, because I know the viewers at home are like these rich bastards with their sick podcast money. Ooh, how much does a bottle of this cost?
So it depends. This will probably run 400.
Okay.
And this I think ran about the same, 300, 400. Okay. Some older ones can like the old ginger brandy from 19.
So if I'm going to ask for a gift from like my agent or manager, this would be a good gift where it's like, "Hey, give me a dusty ass bottle of some whiskey, a Medley or an Old Crow." Perhaps.
Yeah. Are these hard to get your hands on? Is
yeah.
This
I mean,
like,
yeah.
If, how many of these exist?
In a certain, there's an online market for this thing, these sorts of things.
Thank you.
They are readily available for a premium. But
I'm into it. I like cool old stuff like that.
Yeah. So Dolph and Brendan, a lot of them will just reach out to me and just say, yo, I need something. And I'll find it for them and get it to them. If you are
so
looking,
you and Dolph are like homies. It seems like
no. I mean, I wouldn't say that. That sounds like It sounds like a little bit more than. I definitely mean for it to come across as like we're best friends. Me and Brendan Schaub are closer than me and Dolph. But there are a few people who've asked me to find things for them. If you
for
are
sure.
looking for something, I can tell you where to go or I can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna reach out. I need a dusty bottle.
Is this like a whiskey Etsy or like a whiskey eBay that we're talking about?
Well, I think it's pretty. I think our listeners know. So there's a couple of black
Amazon.
Markets on Facebook.
Oh, like dark web?
Well, Facebook, right? But private groups. Like you have to use certain codes.
Oh,
you can't just come out and list dollar amounts.
And what are
things.
Those codes?
Do you know Dusty? Do you know Dusty?
80081 whatever boobies is on a calculator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you had that really readily available. Okay, so this is how old?
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's smooth.
1976.
That's maybe the smoothest one we've had so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So old bourbon is good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's much better than stuff nowadays.
Is this?
Is it better
strong?
Because it's been sitting there for so long?
No.
Or
so
it was just better out the gate.
things now are much more mass produced.
Yeah, they are. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So a lot of old stuff, they were using cypress fermenters, and the barrels are made from old growth oak, like trees that were much older. Now they're all from tree farms and they're much more young. So things are a bit more mass produced. So old bourbon was just made better.
Yeah.
Even good bourbon nowadays doesn't compare to old bourbon. And
because this is real good.
It is. Mm.
That's really good.
Medley's fantastic.
I like that a whole lot. Whew.
Yeah, it's smooth. Like, how strong is this whiskey?
This is probably 90 proof, so 86 proof. It's probably somewhere in there. Let's see, 40. This is actually an Italian export, so it went to Italy from Kentucky, then it came back.
Can I say I love this? I love this.
This is.
I haven't sat around and tasted whiskey for, I don't know, I would say several years.
It's a lot of fun. It's a way to kind of, you know, you drink and you talk. I mean, what's not to love about this show, you know?
Yeah.
You got yourself a hit.
We got to change up this. Cheers, guys. Hey,
cheers, absolutely.
Cheers.
Very nice. Let me get you over here.
Yes, absolutely. We need to make our podcast revolve around drinking or like eating cheeseburgers or something.
Yeah. Sure.
Right, so either one of those would be. Every week it can change.
Yeah.
We'll drink whiskey one week. The next week it's just we test out, we'll get five different cheeseburgers that we eat throughout the podcast.
Then you have a Coke week and then marijuana. Yeah. You've got it all.
Then the come down. Yeah.
The cocaine week is only 15 minutes long. We thought we talked for an hour, but.
Holy shit. So talk about the podcast. So when did it start? I mean, I know you guys are 16 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fucking suck it, Sean Evans.
Nice, dude.
It's very familiar.
Know. Yeah.
So 16 episodes in, you guys started doing it. It's the quattro. It's the four of you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Blake, myself, Anders Holm,
and Kyle
Newacek. Sorry, Anders.
Sorry, Anders.
And Kyle, our director, and we all created the show together. We came up together, and it was like we had talked about it for a while and starting a podcast, but we're all busy doing our own things. And it really took the pandemic to be like, yo, should we do this together? And it's been, I will say it's been like the highlight of this year for me, just like getting to hang out with your boys once a week. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
I think a lot of like when we ended Workaholics, as much as we still remain best friends, you know, you do get busy and you separate. We kind of, or at least myself, I took for granted seeing these guys every day in the writer's room and on set. So
yeah, we saw each other every day, no joke, every day.
Yeah.
For over a decade.
Yeah.
For well over a decade. So like when you do that, and then now we're like deep in our 30s and to
surreal.
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden we like time warped and we're like becoming older men now, and we're like, oh, I guess we're never gonna see our buddies again. So it's like a good way to like just make sure we can go in and check in with each other once a week.
Yeah. When do you guys release?
Well, we have been doing every Tuesday and Thursday, but I think over the holidays we're gonna step it back down to just Tuesdays
one a week. Yeah, the 2 a week thing's difficult to especially to maintain.
Yeah.
The one thing they don't tell you, and I talk about this a lot on the show, the one thing that they don't tell you about podcasts is it's theoretically permanent. It's indefinite. It's forever, right?
Yeah.
So we try to do it every week, every Friday, on time, every week. And even then, especially during the pandemic, we've had guests cancel last minute because they've tested positive or something.
For sure.
And they're like, well, we don't have anything in the tank. Like, we got to, you know. So this week, luckily, we had like 5 interviews, 1 cancel anyways, but it's just
different. Dolph, where you at, buddy?
No, but yeah, it's just difficult to constantly put out, but it's great. You get to catch up with everybody and you get to spend
the day
together.
That's exactly what
it is. What's great about our podcast is it's literally just us bullshitting. There's no agenda to any episode. So we just go in and just start firing. And I feel like it's like when you go back and you're hanging out with your buddies from high school and you're able to just pick up right where you left off and just start firing. And the dynamics are in play immediately. It's like we gang up on this guy. They turn around and they gang up on me for this.
Yeah.
We make fun of him for his hair. Like, you know.
And like we always kind of prided ourselves on Workaholics being, we would say it was the dumbest show on television.
We would,
and
yeah.
the podcast doesn't deviate from that.
Yeah,
it's basically a continuation.
It's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it might be the dumbest podcast on the internet.
Yeah.
That brings me to another question I had. So what is the wildest thing that you really wanted to do and you pitched, but no one would take it? I'll give you a great example. So like on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they played a prank on Danny DeVito where, you know, Frank is known to be the wild card. Mm-hmm. But what they would do is they pitched an April Fool's joke, a script that basically had him going to prison and getting gang raped.
Mm.
And then to save himself, he aligned with the white supremacists. And then they gang raped him, and he was like, he had went over to the Mexicans to align with them, and then they gang raped him. Then he tried to get in with the guards, and the yep. guards gang raped. So it's like this constant episode of gang rape. So he eventually
great episode of TV. Now that's comedy.
Aged well.
He eventually went to the writers and was like, he called his agent. He was like, I'm not doing this. And they're like, yeah, that was the joke. We tried to push the limit.
That's funny.
Has there been a show idea after Workaholics or an episode that y'all really tried to push and it just never didn't line up?
Well, there was one episode where Kyle Newacek, who's our director and co-creator, played Carl, the drug dealer on the show. And
right.
There was an episode where it was established throughout the series that Blake has a micro penis. Mm-hmm. And so he has like a...
In the series,
like a penis that's so small that you can barely see and barely hold. And you like wouldn't even need to hold it to pee. You would just stand there and it would... And his micro penis. And
just rested
on the show,
gently.
On the show. Allegedly.
On the show.
And Carl was going to... He was sick of all the trouble that his penis... Any trouble in his life... is directly from his penis.
Right.
And so he was going to cut off his penis surgically through a doctor and give it to Blake. And Comedy Central had a huge issue with that.
Really?
Yeah, they just because the whole transgender thing.
Well, yeah, he was more, it was focused on, like, Carl was sick of being a man and was ready to be a woman.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to give this a shot. And then Comedy Central's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like we don't even want to dip our toes into that.
Very wise.
Well, yeah, so, yeah no, they were right to do it. But then we just kind of pulled out the whole wanting to be a woman thing. And, he was just
going to cut his dick off and give it to him. And he's just going to be a man that doesn't have a dick anymore.
Yeah,
and they were
genderless.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
When I asked that question, is that before he said it, did you have another one that came to mind or was that the same one?
No, I mean, I feel like the ones that are in my mind, I haven't even pitched to the guys yet, but if we ever do get a big lump of money to make like another season of Workaholics,
they picked us up through, they wanted to pick us up through season 10 and we turned them down.
Y'all were done with it?
We were done with it.
Yeah.
We had time and money to make this episode that you never pitched us.
No, this would this would be like a Wire-esque Workaholics.
Well, here we are. Here's the time.
Pitch it.
Well, I will. No, I don't want to. I don't want to.
You don't got it.
I do.
You don't have it.
So would you guys come back? Because that seems to be the trend lately is a lot of shows are coming back. Like Arrested Development came back years later for one more season. A lot of shows are doing that. Have you thought about just an 8-episode return?
I think so, but I think we haven't been off the air
long enough.
We all haven't aged that much. Like, we've aged a little bit. But I want to be bald and, like, 30 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. I want, like, to really come back, like, 15 years
like
from
shit.
Now. Like, looking like shit. Looking like an old man.
You guys are still done nothing with your lives.
Yeah, today. Like, or we have. Like, maybe Demamp Camp, my workout videos have taken
off. Wait till you hear my pitch, man.
And I'm rich as shit. And maybe Blake works in the company. He's very successful. Maybe you're one of my male models and you're getting a lot of love. And then we've left Durs in the dust.
Yeah. Maybe it's a two-man show and it's a multi-cam.
Durs is like a male prostitute, very reminiscent of Broken Lizard's Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, just kind of his life's gone in the shitter. Okay, we've got one more.
I
think we've hit everything, right? We pretty much. We've got one more. Mm-hmm. This is a 1969 Old Crow Traveler.
Yes, it is.
This is very, what's the name of that show that made the dude with the big wiener famous?
Workaholics.
Nope, John Hamm.
Mad Men.
They made this specifically to put in men's briefcases. They were briefcase bottles.
That's really? A traveler.
Yeah, it was called an Old Crow Traveler Fifth. So that's fit. It would fit perfectly in that a briefcase.
Is hilarious.
From 1969.
That's a huge bottle.
The good old days. That bottle right there looks like it's. If it could sing a song, it'd sing like "Old Man, Take a Look at My Life." Right.
That
this is a classic.
All right, last bottle here.
This is a dusty.
Ooh, yep, little, as I spill it all over on my pants.
We got a duster.
Yeah, dang.
Ooh, dang. Who's you wasted some duster.
Slurp that up. Oh, I'm getting a little tag on mine.
A little back to back here.
To dusty. To living in that dusty life.
Well, cheers,
keep
guys.
It dusty.
Yeah.
Hey, let's cheers. Sure. Cheers.
You got
cheers.
It.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace yes, be yes, with yes, you. Yes. Salud.
I really spilled quite a bit on me.
You did.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, these old bottles are so fun.
Can I see that one?
Yeah.
Can I see
yeah.
the old guy?
Yeah, are we allowed to touch the bottle?
Yeah.
I've been touching all kinds of bottles.
You have? I'm hands off. Yeah.
Let's see.
This smells really good. I'm trying to. Ooh.
Yeah, so back in the day, was this like a.
Common?
Was this a good bottle? Or was this like. Yeah, it's a traveler bottle. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. But then now, as the time has gone on, it's like cool because it's.
Yeah, so going back to how old whiskey was just made better.
Yeah.
Right? So even the bottom shelf stuff back then is really good in today's comparison.
Okay.
Right? So bottom shelf stuff now is rot gut, right? That's where that old term comes from. So that was probably middle of the road, you know? Still probably in 1969, probably still less than $10 a bottle. And
dang.
Cowboy shit. Picked it up at auction. It actually, you see over there next to Jack, there's a little cap.
Oh, sure.
So that cap.
Oh, that snaps on here.
That snaps on the top. Okay. And I wanted to ask, you guys have both been, and by the way, it's one of my favorite interviews you guys have done, victims of an incredibly thirsty tweets.
Mm. Oh, dude.
Dude, it's one of the best interviews.
That was one of my favorite interviews, too. I still think about
Comic-Con,
that one.
Comic-Con, right?
Yeah,
Comic-Con. I was also, like, just the right amount of, like, still drunk
from
the day before.
Yeah, we were pretty drunk from the day before still. Yeah, we came in, just stumbled into that one, and we did not know
what to be fair, we were there promoting Freak Brothers, Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, the cartoon.
That's going to come out. Blake and I produced it, and we do play voices on it, but the three main characters are Woody Harrelson, Pete Davidson, and John Goodman.
Yeah.
So we got a pretty sick-ass cast. And Tiffany Haddish plays our talking cat. So we got a pretty sick cast.
So you finally made the collaboration with Woody Harrelson happen.
Yeah, we finally did.
Because historically, you guys had a tough time trying to pitch to him ideas that worked.
Well, right. Woody Pitt came to me and was like, called me. I remember I woke up one morning at like 6 a.m. or something. And he's somewhere in the world. He's a man of the world. He can be anywhere. And he calls me and he's like, I wake up and I'm like, number that I don't know. And I'm like, hello? And he's like, hey, man. I don't do a Woody Harrelson impression, but he's
no one does, but
hey, man.
Hey, dude.
Dude. I'm Woody Harrelson. I'm a big fan. I just wanted to reach out. I got your number. I hope you don't mind. I'm a big fan of Workaholics. I'm like, this is the coolest. So then I go into the writer's room. I'm like, Woody Harrelson's a huge fan. He loves Workaholics.
Yeah.
And so we kept pitching him ideas. And every time he's like, not that one. Yeah. Nah, I don't want to do that.
To be fair. I mean, yeah, I believe.
To be fair, we did pitch him some insane.
Some bad idea.
Not a gang rape thing.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
Some just stuff insane. That, some sunny runoff.
on paper, a lot of our ideas are like, Jesus Christ, they won't be able to pull this off. But then we do it. And sometimes we did.
Yeah. I think he even like, it was like in some magazine, like Us Weekly or something. He like did shout out Workaholics.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was just like. What is our life? This is so cool.
It's so awesome, like, right? I got a call once. It was 10 o'clock at night from Pauly Shore. And that to me was the most surreal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking to Pauly Shore on
the phone. Hey, buddy.
Basically same.
Exactly.
Definitely the same.
What Biodome did for cinema, I believe we are all in agreement. Yes.
Mine is son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law was sick. Bro.
I mean, I actually joined the army because of In the Army. Yeah.
So you're doing a cartoon show with Woody Harrelson and
John Goodman and Pete Davidson.
Shout out to
Davidson.
John Goodman, man.
Yep.
He's so good as the pastor.
In Righteous Gemstones. He's just
so good in it. He's so good at Fred Flintstone.
Everything.
Come on.
I know. He truly is the best.
He's one of the, like if I had like a top list of people to have a drink with, I had John Witherspoon. And then 2 weeks later, he passed. The last interview he did was this show.
Wow.
But John Goodman's up there. I think Bill Cosby's like America's dad, or was. Like he was. he was.
No, he still is. Yeah. America's got a fucked up.
No, he's America's uncle. But John Goodman in Roseanne was, to me growing up, was the dad, the iconic TV dad.
For sure.
Couldn't have been a better guy.
Even as far as career goes, I've said before I started working with John, I'm like, that he had to me as the perfect career, where he got to be this funny dad on this huge sitcom. He still got to be a movie star. He was the star of a ton of really cool movies.
He's in like Coen Brother films.
Yeah, he's in cool Coen Brother films. Coen he's Brothers, now become like this awesome character actor that still gets to do.
He's
awesome
like
TV
heyday,
roles.
Like SNL.
Yeah, he's been on SNL
like,
a million times as the host. I'm like,
so cool.
It doesn't, because if you are too big of a movie star, you don't get to do a lot of stuff. Like they're like, well, you only can do these Marvel movies or something. You know, like you're too on a pedestal. But if you're
a name came to mind.
Yeah,
immediately.
And so if like you're not there, but you get it, he got to do everything. And I'm like, that to me would be the coolest career.
I mean, the Coen Brothers films. Jesus. I mean, he's done everything. You're correct. The spectrum of talent and ability and types of films, both funny, both serious.
Yeah.
John Goodman is up there as one of the most, I mean, him and Steve Buscemi, same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And they did some stuff together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
Big Lebowski, come on.
Big
Lebowski.
Yeah. I think that's what's John Goodman. He's just like such a comedian, but also just such a excellent actor.
Yeah.
Excellent actor.
He's great.
So when's the cartoon come out?
We're still working on, partnered with this company and we're producing all of the first season and then we're going to package it and then sell the show. So we're still in the middle of all that.
It's killing me. You want to try this 115-year-old ginger brandy?
I absolutely do. That's the one that'll cure my diarrhea.
And cramps.
That's what I'm here for.
Diarrhea. thirst tweets. We had seen some of them. I'd seen a handful of those. But, like, I'm not always, like, checking my at mentions or, like, looking at my name on Twitter to see what people are saying about me. So I didn't know a lot of these. And they dug up some truly gnarly things that people were saying about
horrifying.
Us. Borderline horrifying.
I think Eat My Ass was used a couple of times, right?
Well,
ass-eating is out of control. Everybody, no one wants to have regular sex anymore.
I actually saw somebody tweeted or somewhere where it's like everybody's like afraid of this COVID vaccine, but y'all been talking about eating each other's ass like groceries for the last 2 years. What are you afraid of?
Your masks don't work. So I was going to ask, what's the that interview of you guys just reading thirsty tweets was crazy, but what has been the most is there a standout moment of extreme sexual forwardness that you've experienced? I mean, you've done quite a bit of stand-up as well. Watched that last night again. I saw it when it dropped. Went back and watched it again. Is that terrifying? Are you comfortable in that space? And then what's been the most sexually aggressive thing?
I'm more scared of the sexual aggressive girls. There are some that are out there that are just like, and you're like, oh Jesus. But luckily, as we stated earlier in the podcast, you know, this is this is the equalizer for me. I have a few of these, and I'm like, get away from me. I'm hanging with my boys.
Enough for now.
I'd say one of the weirdest, and it wasn't even sexual, but I did have a fan encounter that it was after a show, and this girl, and she was like the cutest little thing. And she's like, I just love you. And I'm like, oh, cool. Thank you. And she goes, I baked you these cupcakes. And I'm like, cool. And this was early. Now I wouldn't probably eat anything.
You ate them?
I ate them.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't eat anything if someone just baked them for me because, you don't know. There's psychos out there.
Yeah.
And so I took them home. I bit into it and straight up tendrils of her hair. Like long chunks of her hair.
Me?
I was like, pulled it out. Like,
did you know the story?
Yeah. Oh, I've known this.
Yeah.
Sure, terrifying. Sure, it wasn't Blake's hair.
To be fair, yeah.
To be fair,
you ate.
Did you touch the cupcakes?
Sorry about that.
She
dude.
Baked her hair in.
Baked her hair into.
Have you ever told that story?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Whatever. She's spirit linked with you now.
That's terrifying.
Whatever pain she feels, you feel.
Did you swallow or you notice it immediately?
I noticed it pretty
quickly. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like if she would have gone tink and put one hair in,
sure.
One hair in, then I probably might not have.
Yeah, but it was you noticed by the third cupcake.
It was like chink this much.
It was so clearly on purpose.
Yeah. She baked her hair into this cupcake.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I don't know what she got out of that or what the point was.
She wanted to be in you.
Yeah.
There's several ways you can be in somebody, and that's probably the low-key way.
Yeah, that's the weirdest way.
If you ever eat my hair, just know it's the highest honor I can pay you. And also with you.
I also feel like I've definitely eaten your hair before.
Yeah, that just happens. Yeah. That just happens.
So is this the most whiskey you've had in one sitting?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. The widest variety.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without widest a doubt. Variety,
definitely not sure. The most physically amount of liquid you've had. Yeah.
I feel we've put back a bottle of whiskey before.
Oh, yeah.
But array, yeah. Quite the spread.
I'm convinced the way I got Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, the movie I did with Zac Efron, was
Flex.
The
honestly, flex.
I wish I
reasonable
was still
flex.
Flexed up.
Yeah. Reasonable flex.
The director I became buddies with, and I was like, I was pitching myself as Mike, and he was like, I see you more as like a side character, and I hadn't been the lead of a movie at that point, so like, Hollywood's weird to where like, if you haven't already been a lead of a movie,
they're hesitant.
No one wants to be the first one to give you that opportunity.
Sure.
So I was like, dude, I think I am. And I took him out to Jones, which is a cool bar here. And I was like, I'm into whiskey lately. I'm like, do you have a bottle of that Japanese whiskey? And the bartender's like, sure. And we sat there and we drank the whole fucking bottle of that whiskey. And we both got drunk. And at the end, we're like hanging on each other like this.
You got the part.
Yeah. And I think like since we broed down so hard, he saw the character of Mike come in me.
Wow, yeah. that's a well,
and sorry. That was one of the most amount of liquid that I've had,
just like straight whiskey.
And I've never done that before, where I just told a bartender to leave the whole bottle,
just leave it there,
you know. But that time I was like, leave it here, please.
There we go.
I need to lube this guy up.
Yeah,
this one's delicious.
This one's different.
What is this one? Is this the old Prosecco?
This is the ginger.
This is the
the ginger.
Yeah,
the diarrhea stopper.
Yeah,
that's what I'm calling
the plugger upper.
So that one has a bit more syrup. Most distillate, like whiskey, rum, they're all zeros. They're keto friendly. They're zero carbs, zero sugar, zero sodium, zero fat, zero everything. That has definitely some sugar in it, some syrup in it. It's a bit more.
There's zero sugar, zero carbs in whiskey?
All distilled spirits are zero on nutritional value. It's empty calories.
Okay.
In the truest sense. So zero fat, zero carbs, zero sugar, unless they add something to it.
Okay.
So sometimes you'll have like the Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah.
They've added stuff to it. So it's got sugar, it's got carbs, it's got those things. But just distillate. Just
I've definitely.
Even rum is sugar free.
Really?
Yes. And it's made from sugar. Distillation, there's an old saying, distillation is purification. Huh. So when you distill something, you are getting the purest form of that thing. And it's keto friendly, zero fat, zero carbs, all of it. It's great. It's great.
But then how do you get fat from it?
You don't.
Get out of here.
Well, seriously. But usually you're blackout and you go get that macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that you get that. You get that late night diarrhea Taco Bell.
But for
yeah.
sure there's calories in it.
Yeah, there's calories.
Okay.
Yeah, but when I say empty calories, I mean literally it's just from the alcohol itself.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
If you're so when I first got into drinking, I was really into beer.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting on weight.
Yeah.
So I moved to whiskey, dropped 20 pounds immediately.
Huh.
Yeah. So it's
and
not.
Let it be known at home. If you're looking for a quick way to slim down,
drop some weight. Hey,
eat whiskey for dinner.
I'm currently a fitness influencer. That's yes. kind of my new gig in quarantine. Yeah.
Yeah. And we
I've
can
been
tell.
Influencing through fitness. And I would like to stand on this platform if you will let me.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're looking to lose some weight, stop the beer. Go to whiskey.
Go to whiskey.
So your little squeeze bottle on your bike is just whiskey?
Well, we'll be after this. Yeah, I was absolutely. Going, I was like, bitch, man, I was going with water, dude.
Yeah. Or Gatorade.
Ew, gross.
Give me whiskey.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that we'll ever see you? I know Kumail Nanjiani has taken the fitness path mm-hmm, and has taken the role sure. in oh a comic goodness. Book movie coming up.
Mm-hmm. Strong jaw, Kumail.
Insane physical transformation.
Strong jaw.
Is there a chance we'll ever see you guys in a comic book?
There's a 100% chance.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is necessarily up to us. If I was given the offer, yeah.
No, I'm saying there's a 100% chance.
Yeah, yeah
we'll
what do you
see,
think?
We'll see you guys in some comic book form.
The Blob.
Yeah. like Dragon Ball Z, you guys form together into one superhero. Yeah. Like you do a little thing.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That would be...
I don't know if it'll be a superhero, but I do want to get really ripped for one project. I'm the type of person that I need to have like a thing.
A motivation.
To shoot for. And so I just want them to be like, hey, you're going to be a bodybuilder in this movie. We're going to give you 1 year. And then I just go, yeah.
I'm kind of starting to get over that wave. I think it'd be cooler to just like blob out.
I feel like you have really? Shoulders for days. Again, I'm a straight married man and I'm happily married. Nice. But I bet if you wanted to, you could totally.
Yeah.
You got shoulders, right?
Take steroids.
One roll. Yeah. Get just big. Whatever that roll is.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
I feel like everybody's getting buff. Let's get then, super chub.
That's like that Rob McElhaney path.
Yeah, that right, was
put
cool.
on 50 pounds.
We will. We're
do
we're
it all?
Already do it all. Getting becoming old men.
I know, but
this is our last bastion. The next 3-4 years, it's our last run at physical fitness.
You know what I'm
saying? And then There's no coming back from it.
Yeah, well, unless steroids. Let's go.
just get just fat enough that it affects your sexual drive. Like yeah. where you have trouble maintaining an erection, and then you're like, we hit the goal.
This yeah, but that's why really all about erectile sort of numbing your sexual drive and how great that is.
But yeah, honestly, that's why we're here teaming with Cialis and whiskey for our
a big
new whiskey.
Yeah. Called Whiskey Dicks. I asked you about that beer because I saw an interview or I saw a picture. And I swear to God, I think it was you. You had a bottle of beer in your hand, and it said Workaholics on it. And I could have sworn you guys did a beer thing once,
we
right?
Did, but that was Kyle was brewing his home brews okay. at the
oh,
house.
Oh yeah,
and they were bad.
Oh bad,
yeah,
real bad.
Yeah,
like tasted like poison.
Yeah,
but he was so proud
like
of
he
it.
He could chew on them.
Yeah, and he would bring them to. He'd bring them to bars.
Yeah.
And like Workaholics was really popular at that point. So bars were going like, okay,
we'll take it.
Yeah. Sure.
Does it have botulism?
Yeah. And Kyle's like, he would pay the bartender to be like, or the bar to be like, hey, if I give you a few $100, will you like hand out these beers? I want to see what people, and they were like, okay, I guess. And so they were handing it, and people were like, whoa, Jesus.
Yeah,
but it says be a Budweiser.
They were like, oh, it says Workaholics on it. It was kind of a bad look for us. But
I think you guys could pull off the whiskey thing is a good idea. I don't do a gin or a vodka, but a whiskey or a beer or both would be something I think you guys could pull off like crazy.
A
little beer ski. I'm always trying to merge
really
things.
Trying to merge things, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a whiskey. I will say I think that'd be Absolutely great.
I was impressed today. You know, I came in as a tequila guy, but I feel like sipping whiskeys is it's lovely. It's a lovely pastime.
It's an easy conversation mm-hmm. with a few pours of booze. That's all it is.
And we didn't even have great ice or anything. This was delightful.
And it really was whiskey neat, wasn't it?
Oh, man. What are those called when they do it radio? They do like a throw and a celebrity is like, oh, listen to Whiskey Neat on 97.5.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody.
Well, listen, thanks so much for doing the show. Thanks for coming out. It was very nice meeting you both.
It was awesome. Hell yeah.
I think I know what my rest of the day looks like. I'm going to be continuing this after you guys leave.
Lucky.
But very nice. Appreciate meeting you guys.
Hell yeah.
You as well. Thank you. Oh, thank you for having us.
And cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.